Very good morning to all of you, and I consider it my privilege to be with you this morning, and I thank the organizers, especially Freda and Mr. Lee, for having me here. This is a great and historic beginning in many ways, as I said, and the Victim Support Foundation in Asia is going to be a landmark contribution to the developments in victimology in this country. I begin with my presentation. I'm essentially focusing on few important developments in the field of victimology in India, though Professor Dusich has already pointed out a lot of things about the Asian region and also India. I'll not be repeating those things. I'll just focus on a couple of very important things. So the quest of victimology actually begins where we say that in our quest to advocate on behalf of the offender, we have come to see the victim as varier. Now, this particular statement signifies the position in many countries where the focus on victimology is now developing, are trying to focus on so many issues. In this paper, I am only focusing on 9 very pertinent issues. They are very crucial issues relating to victim rights, victim protection, victim participation, victim impact statement, victim compensation, victimological jurisprudence, victim assistance, victim advocacy, and victim. So in nutshell, these are the areas which would signify the important developments in the field of victimology. So we have to check what is the state of affairs as far as India is concerned in these regions, especially in past 20 years. What important contributions have been made with regard to these important areas. I need not to state the importance of each and every items which is illustrated and mentioned here, but taken together, they form the bedrock of modern victimology, emerging victimology, scientific victimology. Friends, I would say that there are six very important concerns which any victimological institution or victimological organization must look at. And this is, I'm doing in by this paper, trying to understand how the mobilization of support services immediately after victimization is taking place. Because any victim support organization or any victim organization must look at the manner in which the victims are being addressed, because immediate needs and immediate support services, that is something very, very important. So what is happening on these counts as far as India is concerned? Also, saving the victims from secondary victimization. Secondary victimization, I think, to my mind, and I would recommend very strongly, that most of us must look at the state of affairs with respect to this particular item. In our journey, we tend to forget that victim has to process through a variety of institutions as victim. And a lot of secondary victimization takes place. I have very recently done a study with the Indian courts where I have tried to understand from the judicial opinions and judicial decisions. Though the decisions have been very, very positive, but I noticed that in the process, judges have made certain remarks or certain observations which come into the categorization of victim blaming. I don't know how many of you are aware that victim blaming is becoming a very, very sensitive issue in the criminal justice process. Now, this is high time to make the criminal justice agencies aware of this particular fact, that while they deliver the judgment, while they deliver the services, while they deliver the assistance, the victim should not feel, uncomfortable or inconvenience because your general remarks. So I have a lot of cases in which I have seen the judges have tried to evaluate the character, moral positioning, lifestyle, day-to-day, transactions of victim with respect to various society members in a very negative way. I can understand that some judges have admitted that it was done inadvertently. So they were not really meaning to do that. But even if it is inadvertent, it is very important to sort of stop it. So victim blaming is a very important focus. And this is high time that we cannot do everything. So let us focus a couple of areas which should become our concern. In Asian region, I can understand, these secondary victimization issue must receive the top priority in victimological research, activism, training, and sensitization. Second is also about mainstreaming crime victims in criminal justice system. That is another issue which is very, very specific and very, very unique in the Asian setting. Because I understand that India has perhaps the oldest criminal law in the countries, and majority of countries in South Asia follow the Indian Penal Code and criminal procedure, which is there in India since 1861. And I find that those laws have been created with a different understanding. Now, with the emergence of new problems and with the emergence of new focus, challenge before victimologists is how to place the victim into the center of the affairs as far as criminal justice system is concerned. And that mainstreaming of victim is also a very important task. Because what I suppose, today the goal of victimology must be geared to achieve victim justice. Because criminal justice is a very popular parlance which we are so familiar with. I think we have to look at the idea of victim justice. And when I say victim justice, I essentially mean to mainstreaming the, you know, entire positioning of the victim. And also, very important area which is emerging in India, I can say, which is a ray of hope in many ways as far as victimological activism is concerned. That is, there are certain victim-centric legislations which are coming up, as against those conventional laws which are already in the existence in India and many other countries. So I find there are new legislations. I'll introduce a couple of legislations which essentially deal with child and women victims. Now, these laws which have been passed, say, in 20 years ago or 25 years ago, they bring with them a lot of victimological focus, and primarily pursuing those legislation and focusing on those legislation and developing the institutionalization of victim service is something very important. What I feel, victim services have been very, very sporadic and temporary rather than being institutionalized and integrated within the functioning of the criminal justice system. So challenge before victimologists in this part of the century is how to mobilize your energy and effort to give a sort of permanent character to victim services as an institutionalized mechanism to respond victim. And lastly, the victim support and assistance. So I'll begin with the definition of victim, which in 2008, the Indian criminal procedure has adopted under Section 2W. It has sort of borrowed some element in it from the UN Declaration. A person who has suffered any loss, injury caused by reason of the fact or omission for which the accused person has been charged. Now, this is a problematic clause in this definition, that this definition requires the accused to be charged. It means the identification of accused is very, very important. To my mind, regardless of the apprehension or arrest of accused, because victimization is so apparent, so tangible that you can easily perceive. So this is one thing. Second, I also notice that the victim rights, we have to take stock of the affairs relating to victims' rights. Because what I feel that the conventional laws have provided a lot of attention on the accused right. Do we have similar victim rights in several countries, in Asian countries? In India, these are the rights which have come to be, you know, accepted in different forms, in different legislation. Right to attend criminal justice proceedings, right to apply for compensation, but right to be heard and participate in criminal justice proceeding, I have highlighted here. Why I have highlighted here, that still we are struggling with this particular right which the victim must receive in terms of making himself participated in the criminal process. Participation is a bigger thing. Otherwise, we understand, as Professor Dushish has demonstrated, the activity in the field of victimology started as a charity, then it moves to welfare. Now it should come as a right. So we are talking about a right-based approach And when I talk right-based approach, it must be applicable to the participation also. So victim participation is another area which requires a lot of focused and concerted attention. Similarly, the information about the proceedings and legal aid, protection, restitution, return of property, speedy trial, all these rights are now becoming available in India. That is a very important development which I wish to share. But right to enforcement of these rights, now this is something very important. The right has to be, you know, enforceable. Now, it cannot be made enforceable unless it has a legal character. So probably the independent legislation is also something which we are looking for at this stage in India. Similarly, I can also take you to the Indian Constitution is a very powerful document, perhaps a very most dynamic, one of the most dynamic constitution. India is the biggest democracy in the world. And the entire governance is based on the constitution, and constitution provides a lot of broad principles which have not been utilized for victimological activism. But recently, I think a lot of lawyers, young lawyers who are victim advocates, they are trying to derive the victimological focus through these principles. That is a very, you know, heartening, you know, development to note. And the equal protection, right to life, Article 39A, which provides legal aid as a matter of right, and public assistance to vulnerable section to society. It gives force to the entire voluntary and civil society action in the realm of victimology. And also, the legal framework which is emerging in India, the conventional criminal procedure code now imbibes certain provisions relating to crime victims, where victim becomes the sole agent to trigger the process of criminal justice by bringing the information relating to crime, and that is section 154. And lately, very important section 265 was added, where victims' participation is essential as far as plea bargaining is concerned. Plea bargaining is a very important development, and very important section which goes to the extent of making victim participated in criminal process is section 372, which talks about appeal by victim. Now, appeal by victim is a very remarkable development in many jurisdictions. Generally, the appeal is from the state side in most affairs because the state represents the concerns of victim. Now, in this case, the victim can independently go for appeal for in two cases. One, if he or she finds that the compensation is inadequate. Second, if he or she finds that sentence imposed on accused is inadequate. So even if a state does not prefer appeal in this case, victim can independently get into the appeal process. So it shows the emerging importance of victim in India. Also, the new victim assistance, victim compensation scheme, state compensation scheme, which has been newly launched in the year 2008, is now functional in most states, which provides sufficient funds for victim assistance. Similarly, as I mentioned in my earlier slide, that there are some local and special legislations which are too victim-centric, and they are taken care of, like the old Act, Probation of Offender Act, talk about the compensation. India is a very diversified country with a very heterogeneous social makeup, where lots of people live with a different kind of life. Looking at their concern, that's why I say it is very, you know, unique of India, because it is so diverse a country that you have to keep your attention on the requirement of each and every class. So in this case, the India has passed a very special act called Scheduled Caste and Scheduled Tribe Act, which provides protection to the socially disadvantaged and backward classes. So they are protected under this law. And Legal Service Authority Act of 1987, where legal assistance has been accepted as a matter of right by everyone who is facing a criminal process as a stakeholder. Now, I'll come to another important area, which is also in the in trafficking, especially in human trafficking cases. A new legislation, a bill has been recently tabled, which is so pro-victim as it takes care of confidentiality clause, time-bound trial, rescue of victims, interim relief, rehabilitation, and funding to them. So these are some very important highlights of this legislation, which are essentially looking at the fate of crime victim in this case. Now, another legislation which deals with children, protecting children against sexual assault, protection of children from sexual offenses, which is also called POCSO. This is a very important law which has very stringent provisions, also at the same time, a lot of support and service based, you know, provisions which talks about the protection, rehabilitation, guidance, counseling to child victim. Child victim is emerging. To my mind, conventional laws cannot address these issues. So therefore, special laws for women, for children, all these laws are now being come. So victimologists in India are actually taking part with government to emphasize. I myself is a part of several committees. So whenever I attend, I try to look at what is the space for victim in these laws. And those inputs are, this is very heartening to note, those inputs are always recognized. So like sexual harassment at workplace, this is a new law which is which has been introduced a couple of years ago. Now, it takes care of the victim's concern at the workplace. Now, legislature, the people who are into the making of law may not be sometime aware of the core victimological concerns that we talk as academician. But when they are put across and when they are emphasized, I'm very happy to note that the policymakers are giving heed to these developments in India. And India, the setting is very democratic, where a lot of participation at that stage is happening. So if laws are not there or process not are there, I think we ourselves have to make responsible. This is my understanding. So probably this activism must reach to the policy circles. And that is why I am doing as president of Indian Society of Victimology in India. And in the end, also, I'll just touch a couple of things. Victim impact statement is something which this Supreme Court case, victim impact statement, can we have victim impact statement slide number 11? You know, in this case, which has been decided by Supreme Court very recently, for the first time in India, the term victim impact statement has been used by a Supreme Court judgment. I immediately wrote a piece in a national daily emphasizing that this should become now reality. I'm very happy because coming from Supreme Court, we follow common law system where Supreme Court decisions automatically become binding. So this is a great beginning. Now it is for victimologists to develop this entire concept and pursue it for the necessary action. Now, lastly, I can we have next slide, victim participation at number 12. This is the actually blueprint for future as far as victim justice is concerned. There I am talking about fair investigation. We generally feel investigation should be fair only from the viewpoint of the accused. But it is essentially important on the part of victim also, where because victim is the person who is at the receiving end. Victim at the framing of charges, probably those who are from law fraternity, they would understand that in many cases, victim is not allowed to be present at the charge framing stage. And similarly, discharge proceeding, cross-examination, sentencing. At sentencing, victim must be heard as a person like accused is heard. So these are the areas in which we are working. Victim to be heard at the well proceedings, appeal, I have already discussed. Lastly, I would say that the entire, you know, conclusion, as I am, you know, victim services, can we have slide number 15? This is the structure of compensation I have already. This is the structure of victim services in India, which is taking care of almost all the components. But I would essentially, you know, focus on four important areas, which should become the future direction of victimology. First of all, victimology should become a people's movement. If people in general are involved in some way or the other in the cause of the promotion of victim protection and victim support, I'm sure this will happen. Like human rights movement has become a people's movement throughout the world. So now you see human rights is the part and parcel of every nation's policy. So victim activism has to be taken as people's movement. I also say victimology, the ultimate aim of victimology should be in promotion of global happiness. This is very important. Because victimology doesn't simply stop protecting someone. It is a science, is a positive connotation of victimology is when it becomes instrumental in promoting global happiness. Similarly, victimology for safe living. Victimology for safe living is another broader objective. And lastly, victimology for mitigation and recovery, as Professor Dusich always say. Victimization for mitigation and because I believe the victim has a right to speak and the nation has a duty to listen. Thank you very much.
The presentation was very much on the sociology and science side. You talked about the act related to human trafficking in India and also talked about the unclean beliefs. So, could you please give more insight on the provision on unclean beliefs? As in Nepal, we are also in the amendment process of our current human trafficking and transportation control act, and we can get example and make the provision in a similar way.
Yeah, so this document is still in the shape of a bill which is going to be tabled very recently. It basically entails one very important parameter in its initial clauses that the person who is being arrested in connection with trafficking should not be treated as someone who has done offending. He should be treated as someone who has been victimized. That is the prime focus. Secondly, it is rather than being punitive, because the objective of law is very important. Objective of trafficking law in India is not punitive. It is protective, rehabilitative. So rescue is very important. In earlier legislation, you'll find rescue was not a component. So one of the provisions deal with the rescue, how the victim, because there is no process detailed. So because by rescue, you mean you need to establish certain shelter, certain protection, certain immediate and interim compensation. And also, in the longer term, what is going to be the rehabilitation process? With trafficking, the issue is there is a lot of chances of relapse. Because the person has been rescued and temporarily sent to some, so only he was displaced from one place to other place. But it is not going to help unless you have a long-term sort of arrangement. So this act provides for a long-term arrangement of rehabilitation. So when you take this matter in Nepal, you try to look at that what are the protections available to the victim at the stages of investigation, stages of intervention by a criminal justice agency, and also in the end, what is the rehabilitative and compensation policies? Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Bajpayee.
Yes.
I'm a member of the Judicial Service for Bangladesh.
Yes.
I face a lot of problems regarding recording of evidence because same evidence act lying in India and Bangladesh. Yeah. 1872, Act yes. 1 of 1872, under Section 124, has a provision to give the task to see the accused as not guilty. In that case, the accused lawyer questioned the victim, a sensitive question that should not be allowed in open court, so we made a camera attack in our chamber. In that case, we could not stop the provision.
Yes.
So we suggested that our High Court suggested to amend the Section 124 of the Evidence Act.
Yeah.
In that case, we are participating and we are showing our all sorts of cooperation
yes.
to the victim. But in case of this section is not available,
yeah.
in that case, we accused himself victim by a false case, then what protection would be given in that sense?
Yeah, so I'll just quickly respond in twofold. One is that in India already in cases of sexual assault, this protection has been made available to the victims, because please remember, victim is also a primary witness in every crime. So he is also a very competent witness in a trial. So protection of witnesses during the trial is a very important parameter. In India, in camera trial is an essential requirement in all sexual assault cases. That is number one. Number two, judge has a very important and onerous responsibility during the cross-examination that the defense should not overstep in terms of questioning the victim in a very inconvenient way. This protection has already been provided by amending the CRPC and Indian evidence in India. Probably the same is required to be done, because I have been saying bringing victimological thrust to these laws would mean that you are gearing towards victim justice and victim protection. Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to have to close there, and I have a few more questions. So, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Professor Baikai, for that very inspirational presentation in relation to both the challenges but also the strengths that we're seeing across India. And I think your idea of global happiness sounds inspirational. I think that's something we can all sign up for. Absolutely. For our final session, we have two speakers. First of all, we have Professor Kingsik Oh, who works at the Department of Law at the Ganyu Wonju National University. I hope I pronounced that almost correctly. He's the former president of the Indian Korean Association for Victimology and the former president for the Korean Association for Comparative Criminal Law. He is currently the Vice President for the Criminal Process Law Institute, the Vice President for Korean Juvenile Justice Association, and the Vice President for the Korean Society for Corrections. And next to him, we have Mr. Hak-Suk Kim, who has led the establishment of the Crime Victim Support Center as the Chief Prosecutor in the Department of Corruption and Crime. He helped establish the Gangsam Crime Victim Support Center. He's also been the head of the Human Rights Bureau at the Ministry of Justice, where he helped to establish the National Crime Victim Support Federation, 56 Crime Victim Support Centers. He is currently the Vice President of the Korean Crime Victim Support Association. He's been very much involved in the development of Victim Support Asia. He's a strong supporter of much of our work. And I happen to know he's also a very talented architect and his knowledge in financial crimes. This man knows everything. So I welcome you both to the stage, gentlemen. We look forward to hearing from you in relation to victim support in Korea.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be you all in Seoul. Our presentation is on crime victim support in South Korea and the necessity of victim support in Asia. I will present the first half, and Professor O will present the second half. Victim of crime have been alienated from criminal proceedings for long. In 1985, the regulation of basic principles of justice for victim of crime and abuse of power. It clarified that victims of crime are entitled to access to justice and fair.